Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk.
Crazy weather we're having.
No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
FanDuel's got an offer you don't want to miss this NFL season. New customers can bet just $5 and get $300 in bonus bets if you win. That's right. Pick a bet $5, and if it wins, you'll unlock $300 in bonus bets to use all across the app. You can build parlays, bet player props, ride the live lines, whatever your style, FanDuel has you covered. The NFL season is here. The only question is, are you ready to play? Visit FanDuel.com/sportsfan to download the FanDuel app today and get started.
Must be 21 plus and present in Virginia. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
When it comes to what your family eats and drinks, you know your choices matter. You're the expert. Because you know what fits your life. And getting it right starts with good information. That's why America's beverage companies are sharing more information about our ingredients at goodtoknowfacts.org. No spin, no judgments, just the facts straight from the experts for more than 140 beverage ingredients. Visit goodtoknowfacts.org.
What's going on, everybody, and good morning. Today is Wednesday, October 22nd, and this is your daily Go Birds Morning Update, giving you all the Eagles news you need to know, as well as what to keep an eye out for today. And for some reason, whenever I read the date of the pod or like say what the day is, I always think about how crazy it is that we've been doing this daily pod together for over a year. Like Monday through Friday, some Saturdays, some Sundays, every single day, me and you talking Eagles, thinking about the Eagles. And on days like today, where yes, my voice still doesn't sound great, and there's probably been other stretches in this year plus where it's been like that, I truly do appreciate that you guys start your morning with me, start your day with me. If you're feeling sick, we can sympathize with that. If you're not, you can listen to me and think, man, I am happy my voice does not sound like his today. But what I promised you when I started this, and what I've kept to, and I will always keep to, is I will be with you every morning doing the daily pod, even when I'm not, the voice isn't feeling great. I actually feel fine. It's just the voice. But regardless, on the schedule for today, the pod goes on. Let's talk about what's on the schedule for today. And we got a lot to get into today. Vic Fangio spoke. Kevin Petullo spoke. Michael Clay had something interesting to say about the kickoff situation. And then we're going to get into previewing the next game, a game that I probably took for granted the last time. I think the players probably took for granted last time. The Eagles versus the Giants. So let's get it kicked off. Let's get this pod going. On the schedule for today, Nick Sirianni speaks to the media at 12:10. Practice begins at 3:10. Yes, we will get a chance to see Brandon Graham out on the practice field. And at 4:50, open locker room, we will hear from the players, Jalen Hurts, and I'm assuming we will be hearing from Brandon Graham. So a very BG-filled day on this Wednesday, as Nick will talk about him. Practice will be about seeing him out there. And then, of course, he will speak at his old locker, by the way. Pretty coincidental that his locker is open. So the locker that he spent 15 years at was given to Za'Darius Smith. Obviously, Za'Darius Smith retires. Brandon Graham comes back. I wonder what they would have done if a player was in there, like if it was Nolan Smith's locker or something, what they would have done. But not a problem they have to worry about, because Brandon's locker is open and Brandon Graham is back. The injury report. It does not sound like Azeez Ojulari is going to play this Sunday against the Giants. Vic Fangio was asked about it and essentially said no. He didn't say it outright, but I would not expect to see Azeez out on the practice field today when the Eagles are out there. Adoree Jackson also dealing with a concussion, presumably still in the concussion protocol. We'll find out more today. But the two former Giants, Azeez Ojulari, Adoree Jackson, I would say both unlikely to play this Sunday against their former team. That, of course, sets up Kelee Ringo to start opposite Quinyon Mitchell. We'll talk about this when we preview the Eagles' defensive backs versus the Giants' receivers. But the Giants just don't have talented receivers. Like, I know the Eagles lost to them last time, but that doesn't change the fact they just don't have great receivers. So we'll talk about that matchup later on in the pod. And then, of course, the big piece of injury news, Cam Jurgens. We wait to see what the latest is with his knee. I think so far the fact that we haven't heard anything is probably good news. We'll see if he is out on the practice field today, but that would be the big question. And if he doesn't play, is it Landon at center? Is it Brett Toth at guard? Or do they keep Landon at left guard and put Brett Toth at center where he played against the Vikings? So those are the big questions. And then Jeremiah Charter Jr. dealing with an ankle injury. So we should get some more clarification for all those players out today at practice. So next up, the news of the day. And of course, we know what the news of the day is. Brandon Graham back. Brandon Graham signed with the team on Tuesday officially. It seems as if he signed right to the 53-man roster. They still had a roster spot open, so they just add him straight up to the 53-man roster. But before we get into that, let's talk about some other news. And that is the book drive that I am doing this year with Treehouse Books. This is the fourth year I've done it with them. And we've been very lucky over the past 3 years to have $23,000 donated from all of you to Treehouse Books. Treehouse Books is, of course, a nonprofit in Philadelphia that works to get books in the hands of local Philly students. This year, we're doing things a bit different. We are having a contest of sorts, is maybe a way to put it. So you go to the website, the link is in the pod description, and you create a team. And by creating a team, you can then ask your friends, family, coworkers, whoever you want to donate to that team. And at the end of the season, whichever team has raised the most money, and all that money goes right to Treehouse Books, at the end of the season, all that money, whoever has the most, wins a Zach Bond signed football. So we've had a few teams up there already. Right now, the two teams in the lead, the Needle Nest Charitable Endeavors, Sam and Friends, the other team, they're both at $110. The WIP Afternoon Show, I'm guessing this is going to go up, but they're at $25. And Team The Hoagies is at $10. So shout out to everyone making donations. Shout out to Clayton, Jason, Tamar, and Chris. I see you. I appreciate your donations. And so, yeah, if your team raises the most money, you get a Zach Bond signed football. And if you raise $100, you get a shirt by Dewani Sarari, who is, in my opinion, the best local artist in the game right now, just doing all types of awesome work. I'm sure you have seen her work. And she's going to design a custom shirt for this, and that design will be out soon. So thank you to everybody. Thank you to everybody who has donated already. And if you want to be a part of it, go to the link in the podcast description. All the details are there. And together, we can do some good for the Philly community, do some good for the kids in our community, and get more books into the hands of local students. All right. As I mentioned, the big news of the day, of course, is that Brandon Graham officially returned from his retirement on Tuesday, signing with the Eagles, or I should say agreeing to terms with the Eagles, and expected to be out at practice today. So Brandon Graham did a bit of a media circuit after announcing the news, and he was on NFL Network talking about why he made the decision to come back, how he's feeling, and here's what Brandon had to say.
Oh, yeah, and I feel good. Honestly, I felt great even coming out of that game before I found out I tore my tricep again. And now my tricep feels good, it's fully healed, got everything checked. And, man, it's more like just feeling like you can still add value and help the team in any way. And they know what they're getting with me 100% of the time. I'm all in. And, yeah, I'm like, while I can do it still and while the calls are still coming, I'm like, why not? You know what I'm saying? Because don't nobody really pay attention to the details of, oh, man, Tom Brady, all they know is Tom Brady won seven Super Bowls. And they don't say, like, oh, he came back for one more time, too. So I figured I'd go ahead, come on back one more time if the opportunity comes itself, you know, because it's still going to be the legacy of me winning two Super Bowls and all that stuff. So going out on top was cool, but of course I still felt like I still had stuff in the tank to go make another run.
So first, it's good in there to hear that his tricep feels good, that he's fully healed. He has, of course, had, you know, I guess almost 9 months at this point to recover from that tricep injury. He says he feels good. You know, they know what they're getting with me. He brings up the Tom Brady thing, the legacy. And he's right. Like, no one really thinks about the final season of Tom Brady's career when they think of Tom Brady. And when Brandon Graham returns and when he plays, more than likely, nobody will think about this final year as the final year of his legacy. Me and James recorded a pod on Tuesday talking about it. You should go check it out. It's in the podcast feed. I sound sick during that one too. And I feel like I came across more negative than I wanted to. Maybe you're probably listening and saying story of my life, but I truly do hope the best for Brandon. And I truly do hope he comes back in and crushes it. I'm just skeptical that he's going to be able to come back and be an impact player like he's been off for so long. Now, there's no question he was a very good player last year. He was the 32nd ranked pass rusher in football, according to Pro Football Focus. He was the 9th best run defender, according to Pro Football Focus. So he played at a high level. He had 21 pressures. And maybe he'll be able to come back and play at that level. Now, I do think last year it helped him that the rest of the defensive line was really good, much like it helped other players on the defensive line that Brandon was good. And maybe when he comes back this year, he will elevate the game around him, the players around him. But man, I just think about seeing him in that locker room in New Orleans, holding the Super Bowl trophy and thinking it is awesome that that's how his first retirement went. And it's crazy to say first retirement. Maybe his second retirement will also end with the Super Bowl. The Eagles are certainly contenders and they could certainly get it done. But yeah, I really, really hope the best for Brandon. I hope this works out for him. Now, Vic Fangio was asked about Brandon Graham, what he could bring, you know, when he'll be ready. And here's what Vic had to say.
How can BG help?
We'll see. You see what kind of shape he's in, what kind of retention he has from last year. You know, shape comes in two forms. One, just your conditioning, but in football shape too, contact shape. So hopefully the sooner the better.
So that is obviously the next big question is, you know, how will he actually play? You hear Vic Fangio talking about how much he retain of the defense. How ready is he for contact? And obviously now the Eagles are only a few days away from the next game. And man, the idea of Brandon running out of the tunnel against the Giants is going to be wild. Like, it'll be an event to be there for that. And we'll see if he ends up playing. Now, Vic Fangio was asked like how much he could play, and he leaned on experience in his own career. And it's an encouraging sign that he could potentially play on Sunday based on this answer. So here's Vic Fangio talking about how much Brandon could play.
For somebody coming out of retirement, what's kind of a realistic expectation of how many snaps they could offer you?
I don't know. Now, he's coming out of retirement, and he's older, but you know, when I was in Chicago, we traded for Khalil Mack, who had missed the entire training camp. And the fatigue police said, hey, he can only play about 20, 22 snaps in this game, because we got him the week of the first game. And I said, okay. He played about 45, so I don't know.
I think it would be pretty tough to get Brandon out there against the Giants. He has said that the initial plan was kind of, I should say Brandon has said the initial plan was to play against the Packers, which is after the bye week. That would give him, you know, kind of two slash three full weeks of practice. The team won't be practicing during their bye week, but he would get Wednesday, Thursday, Friday this week. And then obviously the Wednesday, Thursday, Friday leading up to the Packers game, or I guess it would be Thursday, Friday, Saturday, because it's a, because it's a Monday night game. But yeah, I mean, it's going to be tough for him to be out there on Saturday, on Sunday. I could picture just like him being active because of the emotional boost. He gets a few snaps in there. I don't think the player you will see on Sunday will be the role he will play throughout the year. But look, Vic Fangio said it right there. Like, initially he thought Khalil Mack was going to play 20-something snaps, and then he played 45 snaps. Even Nakobe. Nakobe ended up playing 31 snaps this past week when it doesn't seem like that was the plan initially. So the Eagles have traditionally, I think, been pretty fast in moving players along and getting them out there. This is obviously a very unique situation considering considering Brandon was retired 24 hours ago and now he's going to play football, but we'll see. They need the bodies. Aziz Ojulari is not going to play. They're really short there. So I could definitely picture Brandon being active against the Giants. The question is just how will he hold up? And like, you want to be safe with it too. Like, you don't want him to go out there when he is, when he's not 100% and he could, you know, God forbid, hurt himself. So we'll find out more. We'll see what he does today. We'll see if he's listed as a full participant. I would imagine he will be, but I don't know what they will put as an injury designation if he's not, like, ramp up, retirement. Like, I don't really know. So we will find out more throughout the week. And obviously, Brandon, throughout the week, it's going to be a big story, just how ready he is to...
Skip the gym, not the workout. With Hydro, you get a full body workout in just 20 minutes, hitting 86% of your muscles in one smooth, low-impact motion. And now there's a new Hydro Arc, Hydro's most advanced rower yet. Arc introduces Hydro Metrics, tracking your power, endurance, and precision every time you row, so you can actually see your progress. Go to Hydro.com and use code FIT to get $100 off any Hydro rower, including Arc. That's HYDROW.com. Code FIT.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcast.
To play. Okay, so with Brandon Graham back in the fold, another edge rusher that is suddenly in the fold, Jihad Campbell. Jihad Campbell started the year playing predominantly, in fact, almost exclusively linebacker. He was sent at the quarterbacks a few times, but wasn't really lining up at edge. This past Sunday, with Nakobe Dean returning, Jihad Campbell lined up 28 times at edge, 20 times on the left. So he is like finding a home on where he is going to play. He rushed the passer 16 times, only had one hurry. Vic Fangio was asked about how Jihad looked, and here's what he had to say.
Vic, what's your assessment of how Jihad performed off the edge this week or last week?
I think he performed basically like I thought he would. You know, it's new out there, you know, and particularly, you know, the packages he was going up there earlier were different than this week, this past game. So there's a lot to learn. There's a lot to get comfortable with. the more he's up there, the better he'll get at it.
Yeah, I think asking Jihad to be an impact edge rusher right now is probably unfair. And like, that's a tough thing about their edge position. You're asking a 37-year-old Brandon Graham to be a impact player for them. That's probably unfair to ask. You're asking Jihad Campbell to be an impact player for them right now. That's probably unfair to ask. You're asking Jalix Hunt to be like the number one edge rusher right now when he's a second year player that was just learning the position last year. That's probably unfair to ask. So like, their edge rusher position is still in a mess. And then also you're going to ask Nolan Smith when he comes back from missing a month in the middle of the season to be an impact guy. Like, their edge spot is not in a good situation. So the fact they brought Brandon Graham in, I do think could be an indication they're not going to make a trade, but man, they still really need to. And if they can go out and add an impact guy, they got to do it. Like, you can't count on these players to get consistent pressure when these big games come, when you're playing the Packers, when you're playing the Lions, when you're playing, you know, Washington late in the season. Of course, that means, you know, if Washington can even be in the playoffs. And then, of course, come playoff time, can these guys be counted on? So, like, it's going to be tough to ask this group of players. It's weird. Like, Jihad, upside as an edge. Nolan Smith, upside. Jalix Hunt, upside. Like, there's exciting players in the group. But asking them to be impact players right now is pretty tough. So we'll see what they end up doing. But of course, part of the reason Jihad Campbell is at edge is because N'Kobe Dean was playing a ton. He played 31 snaps. That's probably more than they expected him to play against Minnesota. I thought he played well. It's surprisingly well, considering it was his first full action. And hopefully that's something we're saying about Brandon after his first game back. But Vic Fangio was asked about N'Kobe Dean, and here's what he had to say.
Why was that the right decision not to play in the week before?
Because you didn't have enough practice. Practice is important. You know, and it would have been negligent on our part to put him out there without practice.
So if N'Kobe is going to be the middle linebacker next to Bond in base defense, like, that's an interesting little kind of decision there, because Jihad was playing all the snaps and now Jihad will be at a different position for those snaps. But again, I like, do you want to put Jihad at edge because he's ready for edge, or are you putting Jihad at edge because he is because you want to put N'Kobe at middle linebacker? And like, I don't know what the right decision there to make is. Like, what do you prioritize, Jihad's development or Jihad or the team? Like, I think there's an argument for Jihad's development. You don't want to put him out there when he's not ready, but at the same time, with the team needing him there, like, I understand why they're doing it. So the bottom line is, like, Howie Roseman's offseason wasn't a great one, and as a result, they're putting guys in positions you probably wouldn't put them in otherwise, strictly because the players that they brought in didn't work. So the defense hasn't been that good this year. They had their moments against Minnesota. They also got very lucky that Carson Wentz was the quarterback they were facing. So we'll see on Sunday against a Giants offense that moved the ball way too easily against them the last time they played, what type of improvement they've made. And, you know, I know the trade deadline is you know, prior to the Packers game, and it's kind of during the bye week, but like, after the Giants game is the time to make a move if they're going to do it. You get the guy in the building, you can teach him the playbook. So how the players play on Sunday and how they look could be a big impact in what type of moves Howie Roseman is willing to make. All right, next up, Kevin Petullo spoke to the media, and he was asked about the topic of the week, the catchphrase on everyone's tongue this week, being under center, play action under center. So Petullo was asked why they were under center so much this week, and here's what he had to say.
I think really each week kind of presents something new. And I think this past week was a week that we felt like it could help us and give us an advantage in the game plan and open up some different things for us. And, you know, we did that early with the runs, and then it elevated to the play actions.
So they keep saying it was the week for it, and maybe they're right, but I'm skeptical. Like, I think they're strictly just doing it to try and get the run game going. And then obviously there's benefits of the passing game off of that. But I don't think this is like something they discovered during the bye week. I think they're trying to get the running game going, and it didn't really have to do much with the Vikings. It had to do with the fact that they feel going under center, getting an extra offensive lineman out there could help to get the run going. Now, a result of, you know, I thought the offensive line playing well. Landon Dickerson, he was on the players' lounge. He kind of agreed with me that it was their best game pass blocking. Jalen showed a lot of patience in the pocket. There were times where he was just sitting in there, like barely moving his feet, just strictly surveying the field. It was really, really impressive to watch. Kevin Petullo was asked about that, and here's what he had to say.
So, you know, anytime a play breaks down or you get drop eight, like that happens, and defenses throw something out there to just kind of get you off schedule, it's important that all the guys understand what kind of mode we're in, right? So Nick does a good job of just setting up these kind of things throughout practice where we randomly get a scramble drill or things just break down on purpose so we can practice these. Because if you look at a lot of good offenses, you know, whether it's the Chiefs, the Bills, obviously us with the scramble drill, it's a big part of it. There's way more off-schedule plays than I think a lot of people realize at times. But they're not necessarily off-schedule because when you start to flush, there's rules to it, right? So there's these rules and things about where we need to be at the time when we start to break contain, or when you're sitting in the pocket with a three-man rush and you start to feel space, the guys understand like, hey, I can go to this space. This guy's working in my space. So I think when you look at it, it is like a broken play-ish, but they're very structured. So because if not, right, guys will be end up in the same spot and nobody ever gets open. And so you miss out on what potentially is a big play, right? The defense is trying to confuse you. Well, they confuse you. Well, the best thing to combat that is, I know I've all day back there, so let's get into areas and space to find and make big plays.
Yeah, so a couple things in there. First, the patience in the pocket, very, very good to see from Jalen. As he matures in his career, I think you'll see more and more of that. But I also think that just, you know, even in, you know, somewhat young into his career, the fact he showed it was really good. It was why they were able to be so effective. Had he just abandoned the pocket with eight guys back there, I think the offense would have stalled quite a bit. But because he was looking and seeing and trusting his offensive line was handling, though, you know, when they dropped back eight and only rushed three, that he had time, he was able to make things happen. And then you talk about the scramble drill in there. You know, if the Vikings were going to drop back multiple defenders, then, you know, you try to run the initial play, but if not, if only three are rushing, like, you have guys there to go try to get open. And with that talent that they have, you saw guys were able to be open. So I love what he said there about the scramble drill, you know, kind of being impromptu, but not really, because they have rules there. And you saw Jalen point to AJ down the sideline. AJ gets open, and obviously it was a touchdown. So really, really impressive game from Jalen. If you want to hear more about how I thought Jalen played, I got the Jalen Hurts rewatch report card in Tuesday's daily pod. So go check that out. But a really, really impressive game from Jalen. All right, finally, Kevin Petullo was asked about Saquon numbers dropping as the game has gone on. Good stat from Ruben Frank, who asked him the question, basically saying that, you know, Saquon in the first quarter is averaging 5+ yards per carry. I think it was 5.1. And it just goes down as the game goes on. So Petullo was asked about that, and here's what he had to say.
Saquon's numbers are, it's weird. He's averaging 5.1 yards in the first quarter, which is actually one of the highest in the league. Then it goes down to 3.8 in the second quarter, 3.4.
Skip the gym, not the workout. With Hydro, you get a full body workout in just 20 minutes, hitting 86% of your muscles in one smooth, low impact motion. And now there's a new Hydro Arc, Hydro's most advanced rower yet. Arc introduces Hydro Metrics, tracking your power, endurance, and precision every time you row, so you can actually see your progress. Go to Hydro.com and use code FIT to get $100 off any Hydro rower, including Arc. That's HYDROW.com. Code FIT.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
four, and then 1.4 in the fourth quarter. Any thoughts on why you guys have run the ball well early, and then maybe it's dropping off?
I think the game the other day kind of presented itself similar to where we were able to get out in the runs a little bit. Then the rest of the stuff opened up. So I think that's kind of a piece of it. And then obviously late in the game, the fourth quarter, we've had a few four-minute drives where we're running the ball situationally. So situationally, statistically, they're probably going to go down just because of what we're trying to do with the clock in those moments. But I think really when you look at it, it's sometimes the way the game's presented itself as far as get the runs going, then the rest of the offense can feed off of it. And that's kind of how the...
So this kind of plays off of what Jordan Mailata said and what Landon said on Monday night, which is teams are basically coming out in the defense they expect and they're running effectively against that. And then once the defense just decides to like basically play goal line defense to stop the run, that's why you see the numbers are going down. Now against Minnesota, they were able to take advantage of that because the passing game was awesome. What has hurt them this year is at times the passing game has not been awesome. So when the defense is selling out against the run and the passing game can't make them pay, that's when you see the offense really stall. So that is why the numbers are going down as it goes on. The defense is basically just deciding, hey, you're not going to run on us. And as a result, it's been hard to run on them. So now that the passing game is going, either A, the Eagles passing game is going to continue to eat defenses up, or defenses are going to back off, and I think you'll see the running game start to get going. And we'll see what they do this week against the Giants. But let's start to preview the game on the other side. We will take a look at the Eagles defensive backs versus the Giants wide receiver. So that'll be on the other side. But first, a word from our sponsors.
At Sierra, discover top workout gear at incredible prices, which might lead to another discovery. Your headphones haven't been connected this whole time. Awkward. Discover top brands at unexpectedly low prices. Sierra, let's get moving.
When did making plans get this complicated? It's time to streamline with WhatsApp, the secure messaging app that brings the whole group together. Use polls to settle dinner plans, send event invites and pin messages so no one forgets mom's 60th, and never miss a meme or milestone, all protected with end-to-end encryption. It's time for WhatsApp. Message privately with everyone. Learn more at WhatsApp.com.
This episode is brought to you by White Claw Search. Great podcast pick, friend. No surprises there. After all, you're all about finding the tastiest flavors out there, just like White Claw Surge. And with big, bold flavors to enjoy, like blood orange, blackberry, cranberry, and more, it's time to go all in on taste. Unleash the flavor. Unleash White Claw Surge. Please drink responsibly. Hard seltzer with flavors. 8% alcohol by volume. White Claw Seltzer Works. Chicago, Illinois.
Okay, let's preview this game against the Giants. Now, it's a weird game to preview because I'm going to be honest, like the Giants are still not that good. Now, they have improved. Jackson Dart has come out and played well. And as we talked about after the game against the Giants in that week leading up to the Minnesota game, how your quarterback plays dictates kind of everything, right? Like Jackson Dart has come in and played well for them. Last week against the Broncos, he was 15 of 33, 283 yards, three touchdowns, and that killer interception that really cost him. So like Jackson Dart has played well, but they still lost. They still lost that game. They gave up 33 fourth quarter points to the Broncos. Now, the Eagles gave up a fourth quarter lead to the Broncos. So it's no shame in losing to the Broncos, but 33 points is pretty wild. So the Giants are better than they were, and they're better than I guess I thought leading into the last game, but they're still just not a very good team. They're more of like a below average team than a terrible team. They're not something that like the Eagles, it shouldn't be accepted to lose to the Giants. Like, I don't care that the Giants beat them last time. I don't care the Giants have been playing better. Like, the Eagles are supposed to be one of the best teams in the NFL. The Eagles just went into Minnesota and beat a Vikings team that's way better than this Giants team. So we're going to talk about the Eagles defensive backs versus the Giants receivers. But just before, you know, like we truly get into this matchup, I just had to say that losing to the Giants is unacceptable. You cannot get swept by the Giants this season. I know it's 2 times in 3 weeks and there's difficulty to that and blah, 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 blah. Like we can come up with all the excuses we want. We know what the bottom line is. And the bottom line is the Eagles should absolutely beat the Giants on Sunday. And I think they will, but they absolutely should. And why is that? Because the Giants have trash receivers. And maybe trash is a little strong, but man, They just don't have guys that should be winning against this Eagles secondary. And if they are, then that's concerning. Like, when little Jordan Humphrey went out 2 weeks ago and caught that pass against Kelee Ringo, it basically got him benched. And why is that? Because little Jordan Humphrey is not that good. Also, very funny that his name is little Jordan Humphrey and he's 6'4". Like, you gotta respect that in a name. The irony there. Obviously, they named him when he was a baby. They didn't know he would grow to 6'4", but very, very funny. Regardless, let's take a look at their receivers and what they've been doing. So as I mentioned, Jackson Dart, 15 to 33, 283 yards in the game last week against the Broncos. Broncos, good defense. So like, they move the ball against them. They've now kind of settled in on who they're going to be post Malik Nabers, now that Malik Nabers is out for the year. And we'll see, you know, what the deal is with Darius Slayton. But without both of those, Wandale Robinson was the top target guy for them. He got 12 targets, 6 catches for 95 yards. They really leaned into tight end Theo Johnson. He got 7 targets, 66 yards, and a touchdown. And then outside of that, it's little Jordan Humphrey. And it's Jalen Wyatt. So right now, Wandale Robinson on the year, 53 targets. It's the most on the team, 35 catches, 446 yards, and 2 touchdowns. He's predominantly their slot receiver. He had a good game against the Eagles last time they played. He caught 6 of his 7 targets. He had 84 yards, and he had a touchdown. Lil Jordan Humphrey, as we talked about, had the big long catch against Kelee Ringo. 10 targets on the season, only 4 catches for 54 yards. All of those catches came against the Eagles. He didn't have a catch last week against the Broncos. He plays out wide. Jalen Hyatt plays more out wide than in the slot against the Eagles. He got 5 targets, 3 catches for 17 yards. So the matchups in this game, we will see who is the opposite corner, opposite Quinyon. My guess is it is likely going to be Kelee Ringo. Ja'Corian Bennett is eligible to return to practice this week. We'll find out later today if he does return to practice. But even if he does, the way Vic Fangio talked about him on Tuesday, I don't think he'll be the guy that is out there. So it's pretty simple. Like, Quinyon Mitchell should shut down whoever he lines up against. And Kelee Ringo, if you want to be an NFL starting corner, you got to shut guys like Wandale Robinson down. You got to shut guys like Lil Jordan Humphrey down. If Kelee wants to be the guy out on the field for a Super Bowl contending team, these guys should not be getting open against them. And I know the passing game is more than just that. The Eagles defensive line will have to bring down Jackson Dart. In the first matchup, Jackson Dart ran all around and as a result, like, found places to go with the football. So it starts with the defensive line getting to Jackson Dart and them winning their matchup against the Giants offensive line. But in one-on-one matchups, like, these guys should not be winning routes against the Eagles secondary. But another aspect of this, and Vic Fangio talked about it on Tuesday, is Andrew Mukuba. Andrew Mukuba has been very hit or miss this year. He's made some awesome plays, and he has really allowed a lot of big plays. And against the Giants, like, you don't have to be a special playmaker. You just have to do your job. Like, they shouldn't be out scheming you. If Andrew Mukuba can just be in the right places at the right time, Vic Fangio will put him in the right places to make plays. You don't need to be freelancing. You don't need to be getting caught by eye candy underneath and, you know, jumping routes when people are then, you know, running behind you for big plays. So it's pretty simple. The Eagles should win this matchup, and I'll give them the advantage in this matchup. But we just saw 2 weeks ago Jackson Dart play well against him. You had 2 weeks. This is a revenge game. Go out there and shut down a bad Giants offensive skill set of players. They just don't have guys that should be beating the Eagles. And hopefully that's not what we see on Sunday. So that'll do it for today's daily podcast. As always, thank you guys so much for listening. I love you guys all, and I love you for sitting with me through my voice. There's nothing I hate more than being congested. So, all right. I will talk to you guys later. Until then, he's Elliot. I'm James. Talk to you guys later.
Go Birds! Everything feels a bit uncertain right now. A few months ago, you never would have expected eggs being factored into your monthly budget. New sources of stress equal more opportunities for breakouts to strike. Luckily, Mighty Patch Original shrinks the look of pimples in just one use. We'd say that's a pretty good deal. Shop Mighty Patch at all major retailers.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Fee and fees apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.